This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report. I'm getting Congress to move. Get on the blower and hold that line. Ever wondered what your representatives in Congress really listen to other than lobbyists, local business people, and of course their donors? Well, Catherine Schulz, in an informative piece in the New Yorker, waded into the Washington swamp and came back with some interesting answers to that question. A lot of people might think it's mail. In the Senate, 6.4 million letters were delivered last year, so that's something. A 2015 survey, she cites, says that senior congressional staffers say personalized emails, personal letters, and hometown editorials rank the highest. Nonetheless, when it comes to disruptive action, it's the old school telephone that gets the job done. In Schulz's words, for mass protests, calls are a better way of contacting lawmakers, not because they get taken more seriously, but because they take up more time, thereby occupying staff, obstructing business as usual, and attracting media attention. What doesn't work, according to her interviews, are Facebook posts, random tweets, online petitions, comments through apps, mass emails from advocacy and websites. She also found that you are more likely to be successful on a small specific item from your district as opposed to partisan and polarized matters. This resonates with me as well. I can remember easily getting an amendment to the budget reconciliation bill years ago to retain our workers at the National Hansen's Disease Center hazardous duty pay and having to work like the Dickens to get the homesteading bill passed, even in watered down form. But in this moment, the telephone seems to have become the citizen's weapon du jour. Calls are flooding into congressional offices in record volume. Schulz notes one Democratic senator from Washington got 31,000 calls in 3 weeks. A Republican senator from Colorado got 3,000 in one night. Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania got 1,000 pieces of mail over 2 weeks in January of 2016, but got 45,000 in the same period this year. As Schulz notes, members of Congress claim that, Senate-wide, the call volume for the week of January 30th, 2017, more than doubled the previous record. On average, during that week, the Senate got 1.5 million calls a day. Three of those days, January 31st, February 1st, and February 2nd, were the busiest in the history of the Capitol switchboard. They don't like being on the hot seat, either. They're frightened by the spontaneity and the fact that it seemed organic. People saw something in the news that made them angry, and they called their member of Congress. Yes, Americans are acting like the president, but the average American is grabbing her telephone and letting their congressman have a piece of their mind rather than the president fumbling for his Twitter account on his phone. Of course, this is not an organizational situation, and neither is it sustainable. But it speaks to an important moment and a potential movement if it could be marshaled, though that won't be easily done since the response, interestingly, seems to be on issues across the board, from health to education to appointments to general misbehavior. There is something so American in the naivete of all of this, but it offers hope for a change as well. As Schulz closes, she writes, "The telephone might not be a superior medium for participatory democracy, but it is an excellent metaphor for it, and it reminds us of the rights we are promised as citizens. When we get disconnected, we can try to get through. When we get no answer, we can keep trying. When we have to, for as long as we need to, we can hold the line." How dear is that? It won't really work, as most of us know, but very importantly, it's something to build on. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.